What's up, guys? Welcome to the Twins in Space podcast. We are back again. We missed a week last week, but we're happy you're tuning in again. I am, as always, Taste of Space, joined by Sergio
Sergio, sorry. And
and
Christian.
sweet. So today, our topic of discussion is going to be oriented around relationships. Okay, so this is a big one, and it's not so much talking about just like just relationships as in like dating or marriage or anything like that. It's also going to encompass what we believe in when we're talking about friendships and like how we think friendships should be played out and like how we enjoy situations based on our past experiences. Okay, so first I want to ask Christian, what is your most ideal and beautiful relationship? What does it fully encompass, and why would it make you so happy?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, obviously, marriage material. I don't know. When I date someone, I look into like the marriage material. I don't know. Everyone has their own thing, but I'm more of a personality type of guy. Obviously, I have to be attracted to you, but I'm more of personality, nice, caring, loving. In many ways. What else? I mean, honestly, if you can make me laugh, that makes my day. Positivity all the time. I don't know, man.
Heck yeah.
Like th I've been in l okay, yeah. Anyways, see, I could just keep going. Really, someone who really cares for, I don't know, me, everyone else around them, just positivity, good morals, like doesn't want to kill me, like I don't know, man. Like this is a lot that I can just think of, but
Okay, sweet. Awesome. So it's mainly like got to be an emotional thing for you. All right. So Sergio, what about you?
Well, my ideal relationship, whenever like I look for a relationship or whatever, I do look at personality, but honestly, I don't know, Christian, what? Why'd you go hello? Mark
Yep,
that,
you're still
Christian.
here.
No, we're good.
We're good. You're good. Keep it rolling. We're good.
Okay, I look at personality, but I don't know. It's kind of like the same thing, like marriage material, but
So
how
y'all
well
both
we.
into wanting something that's gonna last, and you're not in it just to have a good time and move along.
I mean,
You want someone that's going to be there, or
be
not,
there,
you know.
but be there, but be there, but like ha support your dreams, but also maybe like have like a combination of the dreams, like work together to fulfill each other's like needs and wants and whatever. And kind of have like the same like the goals, like maybe it's to I don't know, once you finish school, you might have a stable income. Maybe like buy a house, and if her dream is to get a ranch, to live out in the country, then to fulfill that, but also maybe they could meet you in the middle with your type of wants as well. And maybe it's just, to move somewhere where your job may take you, or you have to move and kind of compromise. I guess what I'm trying to say is like being a stable, balanced relationship is what I want,
Where you're
you know?
always willing to adapt with the person.
Right, right, yeah. And it's hard to find those type of people, really. It's like make me a sandwich material. I mean, that's like the.
I'm more of that person in relation. Like, I love cooking. Like, I absolutely love cooking. Like, I cook for all my roommates all the time, as much as I can. Like, if I'm cooking food, I want people around me to enjoy it as well, and that makes me happy. So like, yeah, if a girl tells me to make them a sandwich, I'll probably tell them no, but then the next 5 minutes they're probably gonna receive a sandwich. Like, it's simple as that.
Oh yeah, no, I love cooking as well. I mean, just I'll cook you food.
Sounds like we're about to enter into a perfect relationship, Christian.
I know, that's just what's gonna happen.
Christian's gonna burn it though. Yeah.
Uh oh.
I burn it too.
I'll make your vegan steak.
Vegan steak. Vegan steak. I don't know if I'd even want to try that, honestly.
Well, it's made out of leaves.
Okay, then it's not a steak. Anywho, all right, so it's my turn. All right, so my ideal relationship, and this is specifically talking about like a romantic relationship. It's for me, it's not really so much about titles, like. In general, I found out a lot about myself since I've been in school and stuff. And like when I was in school, I always wanted the hottest girlfriend or whatever. And it always just seemed like this kind of material possession rather than like a relationship with a person. And so when I was always in this mindset of like having a girlfriend, then it always made me feel like other people, you know, weren't allowed to mingle in certain ways with that person, or like I wasn't allowed to mingle with another person in certain ways. And even if it's just completely natural. And I think that if you ever do anything like that, I think for me, at least, this is just an opinion. I think that anytime you have that kind of possession, idealistic, like value, then I think it completely takes away from like who the person you're with is and who you are, simply because like these people aren't people anymore. They're not their own person. They're not able to make their own decisions. They're now stuck inside of your ideal view of what you want a relationship to be. So then you're kind of projecting all this wild. I mean, it's just to me, it sounds so wild. Now you're projecting all this intention on somebody and like how they should be acting. If they don't act that way, then there's all this negative outcome, all these negative outcomes. So for me, it'd be I mean, like I interact the way I want to, and I have perfect relationships with all these people, or with tons of people, and it doesn't have anything to do with sex or anything like that, but it's just like genuine, like connections. I'll meet somebody and I'll be completely, totally real with them, and we'll connect on a really deep level really fast. And if it leads to sexual stuff, then that's whatever. That's just how it goes. But like it doesn't have to be a part of it for me at all. Right. And it's more to do with, I mean, it's pretty much the opposite of the twins in the way that like, I don't care if it lasts. Like if someone doesn't feel as though they want to be around me anymore, I think they should just have every right to be able to leave. And I think that I should have every right to do the exact same thing, you know, just because, I mean, I just think people eventually are going to lose interest in each other, especially if it's in this, this item, like in this way where we're viewing people as like items, as something we own. Like when you have a girl, like you don't have a girlfriend, there's a girl that you're constantly interacting with, and y'all get together a lot. Like you don't own anything. You shouldn't. I feel like it's weird that we even say have, but right. Anyway, so for me, it's more like something without like a title and without expectations. Because in the past I found myself to definitely project what I want the relationship to be like. I don't think it's been healthy in any way. Like, and that's for me. I'm not saying, this for anybody else. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people do it, but I've definitely seen that in myself, and I think, yeah, it's just not healthy for me.
I just think it just depends on the type of relationship.
Yeah.
Honestly, like for me, like I see myself, you know, with the family and kids and stuff like that. So for me, it does require, like the type of mindset that I have, it requires for to be in a relationship, to be with that one person. Not necessarily, you don't own anybody. No one owns a body. Like you just own yourself, mm-hmm. You know? So I agree with you on that. I don't agree with owning somebody. You know, you should never own anybody. That's a mindset that's that shouldn't even be a thing. That's kind of what it
ends up being. Like, that person isn't allowed to go and commit adultery, right? They're not.
Well,
it's like setting up rules. Like,
I mean, you want them to be loyal to you. Like it. Like I said, it depends. Like faithful and loyal and have good morals. Things do change, but at the same time, like it does. It just depends on what type of relationship you want. So if you see yourself with this person like forever, maybe it's a religious standpoint, or maybe it's like you do want a family, you do have certain things you want. So in order to make that happen, you got to be with that person. You have to be faithful. You have to be loyal. Cheating will hurt. You know, there's things that you never want to do to upset that person. So maybe
it's true. But so what if it didn't upset them when it's just a mutual, like,
right,
as soon as you don't have this label, then you can pretty much go out. Like, obviously when you're hooking up on a daily basis, or whatever you want to call it, making love on a daily basis, then you shouldn't be making love with other people at that time,
right?
Like,
but
that's a moral thing, and anybody I would be with, it would automatically understand that. But at the same time, it'd be easier if that person decided they wanted to have, you know, intimate relationship with someone else, they could just go and do it. But I cannot expect them to come back to me, and you know, it can't be, because when that starts happening, it just ends up being this weird intermix.
It won't be the same. I won't view that person the same.
Yeah, I
feel like they were very disloyal, and also health wise, you don't know if they brought an STD back. That is why we have this thing about morality, and it's very controversial. I mean, some people will go by morals, some people just won't. But I think, you know, the nature of humans and in reality is that if you're loyal to that one person, I think it'll bring a lot of positivity, not adding negativity like STDs or stress, anxiety caused of selfishness. So I think it just depends on what type of relationship you want to be in. Like the relationship that Josiah is talking about, I don't know the name of it, but there's a name for it. I believe that to be happy with both sides. But it's all mutual.
There's like, no label to it.
Right.
It doesn't have a name, in other words. There's no labels at all.
In society, it's a relationship with no boundaries. You know, it is, you do have to categorize it, because then what is it? Like, it is
exactly
a human behavior.
So what I'm saying is, as soon as you put a label on it, as soon as you have some sort of way of identifying it,
right,
then you automatically start making expectations for it. So if you tell somebody, like if I went up to you and I told you I'm in an open relationship, then you would mark back to all the things that you know about an open relationship, you would automatically assume it's a certain way. And I think that every relationship you should enter into should be completely and totally brand new. And there shouldn't be any brands on it whatsoever. I think that you should figure out what each other likes and what each other's boundaries are and, you know, and just feel it out. But like, I don't think you should go into it with any sort of expectation, because I think that, I mean, through my experience at least, a lot of the relationships I've had in the past, going into the expectations of what I wanted out of that relationship ended up making it really toxic, because you know, I would want something to be a certain way, and then, you know, they wouldn't understand that naturally simply because we didn't, you know, have the same ideal set. Like, there's a few things that are just kind of implied, but other things are more kind of a fine line that no one really knows about, and it's only in your head. And they had the same thing, so I would step out of line and then I would get a bunch of flack for things, and you know, they would do the same thing, and that was just like, you know, high school drama. But but I never found that to be like a good, like healthy, like I never felt like I was in a relationship and that was healthy. But when I was in kind of like an open relationship, without like having the title of girlfriend and boyfriend, then like we both felt more free, and we didn't feel like we had to, like in any of these relationships that I've had without this title, we've we haven't felt like bogged down or tied down by anything. And we both knew that at any point in time, we could walk out the door and never speak to each other. And we would totally be completely and totally fine with that. Like, we would just, I mean, we would accept it quicker, and it wouldn't be like, oh, my boyfriend broke up with me.
Yeah, heartbreak.
And, you know, like, it's just different. But that I found myself to be a lot happier in those types of relationships. And it has a lot to do with my past and my parents. But
I do agree with you how it's becoming a lot more popular because of, you know, it's going to be easier. Let's say, you know, the person sleeps with somebody and comes back to you and says that they want to be with you, they love you, and then, and you're still in this open relationship, and you can still test the waters, you can still be with, you know, have sex with whoever. And I totally understand that. That would relieve, I tell you what, if I had that lifestyle, even though it's not me, it's not for me, because my mindset is completely different. But if I had that opportunity to finally be like, you know, I don't want to marry. I don't want to settle down. I don't want kids. I just want to focus on me, myself, and do good in this world and just be this positivity energy. Then, yeah, I would be so relieved. I would love, you know, life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, and I agree with you with that. Like, yeah, you should totally go for it. Do what makes you happy. Yeah, and do what makes you happy. But like me, for example, I have in mind that I do want kids. I do want a stable family. Like, I want to, I like, some people don't want to have kids, and I understand that. People with high IQs just don't want kids. Makes sense. It makes sense. It makes
sense. And at the same time, that's also kind of screwing us because, like, because dumb people are reproducing at the speed of light, and, and smart people are, like, thinking things through and wearing condoms and, you know.
Right.
You know, not reproducing, and
I just want one or two kids.
I mean, it's like with my children, I have like 17, and you know, I have the worst IQ ever. I mean, but no, I mean, let me put my foot into this. I mean,
I've been
in an open relationship, and I tell you, it's amazing. Okay, it's relaxed. It's great. You know, see, I'm able to. If I am in an open relationship, I'm able to not get jealous at anything. Like, there's no jealousy whatsoever. Like, at all. Like,
And that's because of the expectation, right?
Yeah. I mean, I could, like...
Because you don't expect her to do anything different.
I mean, it's great. It is great, but whenever... Like, again, Sergio was talking about, like, you know, he wants kids and stuff. Like, I do too. But whenever I want an actual real relationship, I don't want... I wouldn't want to get cheated on or she will go.
It wouldn't be cheating though.
Well, I mean, that's true. I'm talking about like.
But yeah,
want to settle with somebody. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't want her to go kiss other guys or have sex with other guys. And stuff like that because you know I want to have a serious. Relationship
with
this person. So I mean,
yeah.
I've been in an open relationship, but was I truly happy? Like, did I, whenever I was in open, did I feel loved? And to be honest, I think
jealousy usually comes when you're like completely and totally madly in love with someone. Yeah, just I feel like it's just natural, and if it doesn't, then
I didn't feel any type of love, to be honest, because I even tried like. Tried so hard, even if I was like making out with this person or whatever, or doing whatever, like I couldn't feel loved or find the love. But whenever I was in a closed relationship, I felt it. I felt like it.
Yeah.
It was a different story. But I think it also has to do with morality and what you're obviously taught and what you believe is what. You think you should do.
And what you believe ends up shaping how your reality shapes, too.
And to be honest, like, Christianity, like, that's, like, you know, that's what, like, kind of everyone or any religion kind of is the same, in kind of the same way, in a way, like, the Christian religions that are tied up. So, like, I don't know, man. I think it's more personal.
Honest?
Personal,
no, dude, I think it's more, yeah, it's personal. I think it's like having to do with negative aspects mm-hmm. in personality and in positive, and it just depends on the person. For example, no one wants an SED. And if you're the type of person like me that doesn't want an SED but wants a family, wants a stable, growing family, you know, and I'm not, you know, that's a lot of factors. Obviously, you don't want to be in an open relationship because that's going to cause more negativity than a positive energy, and that could kill you. You know, that could mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it just depends on the person, honestly.
Definitely, and I think y'all are kind of like misinterpreting what I mean, but like I don't mean, like I said, I don't like when I'm in that kind of open relationship. It's not open in the sense like we can go fuck other people. If sorry about the F word, but we can go have sex with other people. It's more about being able to not feel as though you have to do any, like you should do exactly what you want. Like that's what I believe. You should do exactly what you want when you want to do it. It's symbols that you should never, anything that holds you back from doing exactly what excites you in every moment. But anyways, it usually, like, if you're in that kind of situation, you can have a relationship as deep and as attached as a marriage, you know.
Right.
But a marriage is more of a contract, like a document, showing proof of like being together. But that's more of a financial document than anything else. It doesn't have much to do with like actual physical, like. You can be with somebody and like act exactly like you would want somebody to act while you're technically married, without the contract, and it's simply just for financial benefit to get that contract of marriage, that certificate of marriage. But for me, like I've heard lots of success from people that have had these relationships for like eight, like they've literally had like, you know, 18 year long relationships where they literally raised a kid until he was old enough to move out. And then, you know, he moved out and then they just went their separate ways. They were still friends and like, they were still good to each other or whatever. And like, but they just weren't sexual partners anymore. And they just moved along. And it's just, it adds a lot of perspective of like different ways that you can do things. And it is changing a lot too, especially because like what I was saying about the, it's more of a financial engagement than anything on paper. Obviously, a lot of people have religious attachments to it now, but on paper, it's more of a financial thing. And then, so nowadays, because girls are able to make just as much money as guys, if not more, in a lot of cases, like tips and stuff, then they're not as dependent on guys. So like these relationships aren't oriented around like needing each other financially. So then that immediately opens up all these different avenues for different types of relationships, because girls are more able to be independent. And like there's tons and tons and tons of single mother programs that everyone can do. And you know, it's just as easy to get support from those as it is to get like another person to support you. It's crazy, but that's what our society is kind of building around. It's building, it's preparing, and it's actually giving more options to do more things.
Right, yeah.
So even if you do want to have a child with somebody, like it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in the house with them or like there every moment. Although I definitely think that it's better for the child that there's a father and a mother figure there at all times for the stability of the child's, you know, psyche. But a lot of people are, you know, it's changing. Things are definitely changing. There's more options these days.
I totally agree with you, honestly. And you know what? I 100% agree with you with marriage is like, it definitely is all financial. And marriage mm-hmm. sometimes scares me because what if I create my business and it becomes a multi-million dollar business? So and I don't want to have that girl to marry me for the money. So,
yeah.
what I'm going to do, I'm definitely going to make sure
a prenup.
Prenup. It's all my shit. It's all mine. and you're with me because you love me. You're with me because you want to be with me, not because of the money. And if we get a divorce, well, guess what? You get a dollar, you know, whatever's in your bank account. So, I mean, mm-hmm. like, think about this. You know who Jeff Bezos is, right?
Nope.
Jeff Bezos
I'm
is
pretty
the
disconnected.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos is the the richest man on this world, man. He's the richest.
Oh, really?
He owns Amazon. And
he
is a multi-billionaire. Their divorce, he got divorced. He cheated or something, whatever happened. And guess how much Mackenzie Bezos is getting?
How much?
$36 billion.
Jeez.
So
she a gold digger.
So just imagine.
Like, oh damn.
I mean, well, he Jeff cheated.
I ain't saying she a gold digger. Yeah, which is, I mean, it's bound to happen when you're when you have that much money. Like,
no, what?
Like,
okay.
Like, do you realize how big the house is? Do you realize how much space it, if like?
No, that's
in between you and your wife. Like, they probably have a big enough house that they could have like three people in the bed with them, and. It's still be spacey. You know, there's
if they're not in
have
space,
a house inside the room.
I don't think that's it either. Because okay, let's just go back a little bit. You know, the meaning
he just doesn't have more.
For me, the meaning of marriage is personal. It's not. It has nothing to do with religion. Has nothing to do with money. To me, it's like it's meaningful to me personally. Like. If I love somebody so much, I don't see myself being with anybody else. I want a family with this person. I would do anything to be with this person. Every day makes you happy, and all like, that good stuff. Then marriage to me is I want to be. It's like yeah, it's kind of like a contract, I guess, to God.
It is.
But to me, it's like God. To me, it means more than just religion or just money. It's like. I am married to you. I'm going to be loyal. It is my vow to always be yours or you be mine or whatever. And we'll support each other in health, death, whatever the fuck it is. You know, but to me, it's a meaning. It's not. Yeah, you can go. You could say it's money or yeah, it's a religion.
I'm just saying,
no,
I'm just
to me,
about
it's not
the actual contract itself. Is
right. Financial. Yeah, it is. And yeah, people would abuse it, but I think
the ceremony is what you're so like the ceremony is what's important to you is what you're saying. It's the actual,
yeah,
it's
the ritual,
it's the ritual of marriage.
Right. That's what means to me because what for me you should be if you're dating somebody you should be pretty much on the same page with a lot of the things. Not going to be perfect, but. You're ready. You want to be with this person. You both want to be with this person, and you guys should be very like communicative, like communicate about almost everything. No, you know, by the time you're ready to get married, you guys are pretty much one. You know, you guys are like the same person.
I mean, I agree with Sergio 100% on the marriage side, meaning more emotionally.
You can do all, but like you can do all that without
like actually wanting to. You know, like you're ready. Sorry. You're ready to have like you're. I agree with Sergio, but I'm definitely gonna get a Pinot or whatever it's called. Like,
and I mean, I'm trying to state is the fact that you can do that. You can have those boundaries set, and you can literally do all of it without even bringing the government into it at all. Like,
yeah, I see.
You don't
what
have to
saying.
Bring the government into it at all. And so then when like you want to split, it's. If you ever do decide, like, which, you know, by all means, you might have more incentive to stay with that person because you wouldn't, you know, wouldn't be worried about whether or not she wants to split or whatever because it wouldn't be some stressful process that might occur. And so the less stress, the easier it would be for y'all to just chill and not worry about, you know, whether or not someone's going to leave each other. So, because divorce is, I mean, it's messy and people end up just absolutely hating each other after divorce.
Right, yeah.
And some people aren't that way, but a lot of stuff that I've witnessed is it was just really messy. And it's just silly because like these people apparently loved each other and like, and would go through anything together. And then next thing you know, they're trying to like take half each other's wealth and like, and make sure that they have to think about them every single month when they're like, you know, paying child support or paying an alimony or some wild, you know, made up thing from the government. It just creates a lot of stress. Like anytime finances are involved, like that's like the actual cause of most divorces is financial. And so, like, as soon as you're bringing finances into a relationship and it's not like a steady thing that y'all talk about and y'all go through together, then it like gets super sloppy and it gets super messy and it gets, I mean, it can just be so toxic. But I think finances should be something like, if you're gonna be in any sort of relationship, whether it be marriage or prenuptial marriage or no marriage whatsoever, it should be, finances should be discussed no matter what. I think everyone needs to discuss finances.
Oh yeah. And I don't think marriage is for everybody. And that's the thing that I, for me personally, that this, you know, let's say 40 years ago, like almost everyone had to get married or else it would be frowned upon. But now we live in a society where you don't need to get married. And I strongly believe that if you're not mentally ready, if you are not, you know, if you're not mentally healthy, you should not get married. I just, it's going to save your life. So like for me, I'm mentally healthy. That's what I want. Like, you know, like I don't have any diagnosis or problems that would affect the relationship. You know, the only thing would be I'm, you know, overweight.
Single,
so
ladies. Single.
No, but what I'm saying is, I guess it's all about mentality. And if you, I don't think marriage is for everybody. I just, that's what I believe in general.
Yeah. Sweet. So let's move into something a little bit lighter. Let's talk about a little bit for 2 seconds. Let's talk about our last podcast. So our last podcast was about health and the different sides of health. We went over how each element can kind of be viewed as a different aspect of your health. And hopefully y'all remember that, and hopefully it was easier to stay in your mind. But Christian, go ahead and tell us if you've experienced any changes after after our last podcast on health and how it influenced your mindset, and if you did anything differently and how it felt after you did something differently. Let's hear it.
So since last podcast, I legit, okay, we were talking about health, like what you eat matters, parasites, all that is a big factor. And you know what? I actually did, you know what? I wanted to try Josiah's life for like legit a whole week, and I legit went vegan, and I went vegan for a whole week, and I, to be honest, feel amazing, lighter. And guess what? I lost 5 pounds since Tuesday. So
parasites. That's all it was too.
And I feel great. I mean, today I obviously, and it's been since Tuesday, Wednesday. Or Tuesday, wait, a whole week. No, we didn't have podcasts last week, but since last week. So for a whole
week. So it's been a week since you got back on meat.
So
and dairy.
Yeah. So and it is a major, you feel lighter, you feel good, I feel happy, I feel great.
And that helped your system reset, I'm sure,
yeah,
too.
Dude.
And like even if you didn't stick to it, like that still has a big impact on your body and like
Well,
especially, I mean, obviously, if you lost 5 pounds, but
no, I did. I lost 5 pounds, and I've been working out every single night. Like after this podcast, I don't care if it's midnight or 1 o'clock. I'm going to the gym.
nice.
But but obviously, I'm on also shakes that I've been on for 6 years. I mean, it's usually I'm changing up my dinner. So even I tried this vegan diet. Or I call it a diet because it's not really something that I'm always doing. I do have my months and weeks where, or even weeks that I do go vegan for a while, and it's one of the best. You feel great. I feel happy. Feel great. I don't know. And when I and I can imagine
less hormones that you're ingesting. You know that has a huge impact on your your mental health, well-being. Like it takes so much less or so much more for you to get angry when you're not ingesting a ton of hormones through meat and dairy.
I mean, it's crazy because today I wanted to test it. I was like, okay, I'm gonna break the chain today. So I made a beef patty. And I can tell you, I feel a little weaker, tired. It's like my body's using more energy to burn down the protein and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because, and I feel a little slow, a little slower. I just feel like my body is working hard, but but because with my shakes, they're all made out of soy protein. And I was what I was eating every single night. I was eating tofu. I was salad. I'll have some black olives, green olives. I'll put on some vegan cheese. What else did I have? I would have a lot of tomatoes, and I don't know what else. I don't remember the other stuff that I would put.
Sounds delicious. You made my mouth water.
It was so good, man. And you know what? I have to say, I've never focused on tofu in my life, and when I tried it the first time, I was like, huh? It's like a water.
Yeah.
Taste.
It's really spongy.
Yeah, and so what I did, to try to ease my way into it, I added some hummus on top or on the side, and I would put, oh, it was delicious, putting hummus and then tofu on top. Oh, I also put some sunflower seeds on top of the salad.
Ooh,
and man,
perfect.
Dude, that was the best salad I ate for a whole week, and dude, lost 5 pounds.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, when I go to Chinatown here, I get sesame tofu. So if you're familiar with sesame chicken, it's like that except tofu. And they make it like kind of dense and more dense on the outside, and the inside is like kind of soft. Like absorbs that flavor so well, and it's like the best dish ever with some steamed rice or even fried rice. I like steamed rice with it better, but oh my gosh,
so
it's amazing,
good.
Dude.
That sounds amazing.
And like it's not the healthiest thing you can eat in the world, but it's really quick for you to digest, and it's like if you're about to go work out or if you're about to go on a hike or something, it's perfect because it's really quick, easy energy for your body to digest, and you have plenty of just the nutrients your body needs and like energy energy makers, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it gives you a lot of carbs and it gives you a lot of sugars and stuff too. So it was nice. It's good. But I have it like all the time. I love the Chinatown here. But yeah, that's kind of my sweet treat. Like once a week, I'll go out with friends or something and go to Chinatown, get that.
That's
but it's super good. And that's like that's a light alternative. It's not going to stay in your system forever. But it's just as good as sesame chicken, if not better. And I just, yeah. I've taken my non-vegan friends, and they've tried it, and they're hooked as well. So there's always options. Like, you just kind of got to look for it. And, like, eating out isn't very easy when you're vegan. So it's more like if you were making salads and you were doing it right, because there's not a lot of places you can eat vegan, very healthy.
Like, Lubbock,
yeah.
You know, Texas steaks, barbecue. It's everywhere. But and I would get my salads at Market Street, but I would make it myself at the salad bar. And
nice.
I they had everything that I felt happy with. I love hummus, so I put that on top. Like, and even on salads, I don't even put any type of dressing. I don't know why, but I don't like dressing. I'll eat it just how it is.
That's good. A lot of people can't do that.
Really? Can you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the salad. Some salads.
It'll
I like Italian. Gamey. I like Italian dressing.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Like that's pretty healthy and it's super delicious.
Anything light, I will enjoy.
Like I haven't eaten ranch in so long. Like once I realized what was in ranch, once I started becoming conscious of what I was putting in my body and like realized what ranch is, I'm like, oh, it's cringy, dude. It's disgusting.
Right, that is so true.
I used to love it though.
I know that when I was little, I thought that I think that was like the thing, and everyone offered, "Do you want ranch on your salad?" And I would say, "Sure." And once I got older, yeah, I realized that, man, there's so much other tasting, healthier choices out there, and like ranch is like the worst choice you can get. I think I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Now that I know the choices, I agree with that. It was pretty much the same for me. I just always opted into what I knew, and I was like, well, I could either
I could either try something new and possibly ruin my salad, or go with something that I know is going to be pretty good, and play it safe. And that's what I did usually. But yeah, I mean, probably the first thing I got like absolutely hooked on, in terms of like dressings after I realized how gross ranch was, was let me think. Raspberry vinaigrette.
Oh, dude, that's delicious. Raspberry
Oh, ho,
vinaigrette.
ho.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
if you put that in a wrap, dude, it's next level
Oh, yeah.
delicious. Oh
I
my
love
gosh, it's so good.
it.
It is so good. Like when I first became V, like I was working in this kitchen and I would make these veggie wraps and put that vinaigrette on it, that raspberry vinaigrette on it, and it just made everything so amazing.
Oh, man, that sounds delicious.
It was dang. Anyways, all right, so Sergio, what about you? Any changes?
I got myself in a little pickle recently the past week.
It happens. It happens.
Started playing World of Warcraft for a long period and kind of just screwed up my sleeping schedule again, so that's mainly it.
I think I woke up one morning to like go on a hike, like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I got on Discord and you were on. I was like, "Oh, Sergio, good luck, buddy. You're probably sleeping all day, bud." But yeah, it happened. So what about the previous week? Before this week, since
Before
we're recording
that,
this last week.
working out really. I mean, I've been working out.
Good.
I've been consistent with that. It kind of like messed up 3 days ago, but other than that, I've been consistent with the, I've been eating salads and a protein shake and a beef patty or chicken. So
Nice.
that's I've just been changing it up and I've been feeling good. Been feeling good. It's just the only thing that's messing me up is my sleep schedule, but I think once I work out later tonight, like after the podcast, I'll end up getting extremely tired and not play World of Warcraft as, you know, as long.
I mean, I do have
Just
to
like I
say,
mean like
oh, sorry.
I try to just anytime the sun is down, like I try not to turn any false lights on. And it's not easy. Like some nights I don't do that, but when I do, like it's so much easier for your circadian rhythm to just kick in, and you start producing the melatonin, and you just and it's so easy to go to sleep. But if you have like any time when the sun goes down, and then you start using false light, your body's just like, all right, I don't know what's going on right now, but we got to work overtime to keep this body going, you know. So then, yeah, I mean it's not easy, and especially if. And it kind of just gets like with video games, it kind of just gets progressively worse and worse sometimes,
Yeah.
and because it just feeds into itself. And like the more tired you get, the more like you use that as, because like that bright light, it's in itself, and that dopamine that your body is producing when you're gaming, it helps keep your mind going. But your body is sitting there like, we need rest. We need the real thing, like you know. And so. I mean, it's super super important. Like, video games are cool and everything, and they're fun, but like, gotta put your body first. You know, you gotta make sure that your body is happy, your body's healthy, and so that you know you have more options. 'Cause like, I mean, I found that living in this beautiful place, like I have so many options of doing so many fun things. But if I play too much video games, then it actually like takes off, it takes time away from like. My ability to do other things that are more beneficial to my health, for one. And just, I mean, it's just more fun when I'm outside doing things, interacting with people in real life, looking people in the eye, you know, not at a character or something, you know.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just I have
I
to
know
put
you
like
do. It's
I
just
have
the
to put
game.
like a timer, you know, like on my phone. Hey, you gotta go to bed, you know, at 3 o'clock
Yeah.
instead of 6 or 7.
We're at 11 or like 10, you know.
I can't cut back it like
Sergio, that's
so
an ex
much.
okay. Let me
No,
give you an
I
advice
no
here.
no 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 Christian, 1 second. I can't
Finish
cut
search.
back. I can't cut back or else I will definitely like have insomnia. Like there's no way I'll be able to sleep
You
until
will
I'm
if you
physically exhausted.
use zero false lights. You literally have to. I mean, you might have to chain yourself to your bed, but it'll happen.
No, what I mean like I have to be out of my room and sit down and then get sleepy, and then I'm able to go to bed and then sleep. But if I just lay there from 11 till 6, I could easily stay awake. I don't know why. I just wake up. No, I read articles on it, and I'm just saying.
You're completely right, but this is, let me tell you what is going on, and for the past 3 weeks since we started this podcast, we've always had a topic about sleep, and you've always said that you have terrible sleep, but this is reality. I live with you, and you wake up till like, you wake up at 5 p.m. every day, and you don't go to bed till like 6 p.m. And so if you want to fix your sleeping schedule, I'm just going to state the freaking truth here, is you got to go stay up till 6, sure, but wake up at 1. Like, force yourself to get up and suffer through the whole night, and then try to go to bed early. And if you go hit the hay like around 3 in the morning, still wake up at 12 then. And then still, it's just, you got to fix that sleeping schedule.
It's different seeing yourself going to sleep. It's way harder to force yourself through to sleep, and it's a lot easier to force yourself to wake up.
Yeah, but Christian's in the same boat as me, though. He can't sound like he's been amazing at his sleep schedule.
I'm because, being honest here.
Why? No, but I'm just, if you're going to throw me under the bus, I'll throw you.
No, nobody's throwing anybody under the bus.
I'm just saying, he has the same problem as me. It's just, he's able to lay in bed and get sleepy while I'm not.
Well, I'm able to actually get up at 12 if I want to. Like, today, okay.
Then do it takes willpower. It's not easy.
I woke up at 12. But like, it just.
All right. Everyone, just relax. It's all good. We're not in a battle. We're just hanging out. It's all good. Okay, so what I suggest, honestly, like when my sleep schedule is totally just whacked out of oblivion, just stay up that entire, like, if you stay up until 6 a.m., just don't go to sleep. Like, you might as well go outside watch the sunrise, love the sunrise, and then just go throughout your day and actually go outside. You might take a nap, like, but make sure it's quick and make sure you get up, okay? And then those naps will get you through that day, and then go to sleep, you know, when you're just dead tired. There's no way in heck you can stay up more than 24 hours and then not just lay down and pass like right out, as long as you're not, you know, super stimulated. But so then go to sleep at whatever time you think is a good time to go to sleep, for you to be able to wake up at a reasonable time and like have a full day ahead of you and get stuff done like during daytime, you know, rather than at nighttime, because it's just way more options when the light is out. Maybe not so much in Lubbock. There's probably plenty to do at night, but like I would go to bed around 10 or 11, and then force yourself to wake up at 8 or 9, and then go through that whole day. You might be a little sleepy, take another nap, whatever, and then try to go into sleep at that same time. And if you consistently go to sleep at the same time, your body will actually finally get that rhythm that it's been wanting for so long. And everything just works easier when your body is able to expect when something's going to happen, and then it's able to do it. The same thing happens when you're you have an internal clock, like it's expecting to go to sleep. So if you go to sleep at that same time, like more melatonin will be produced, and it'll be easier for you to go to sleep. But then at the same time, do not lay in bed and stimulate yourself. If you get your body used to being in one place and being awake, then it will think it needs to be awake by being in that one place. Do not lay in your bed until you are committing to going to sleep. You don't have your phone on, you don't have anything distracting you, and you're in bed just to sleep. Okay. So that way you're training not only your internal clock, but you're training your physical body and you're actually implementing energy like where you're laying, to remind you, okay, this is where I sleep and this is where I'm going to shut down, go ahead and produce that melatonin. And sleep doctors have suggested this for a long time. Like this is very essential. I mean, it's more of a new thing, like when you're talking about like where you're going to sleep, don't stimulate yourself. Don't eat where you want to sleep. Don't watch videos where you're gonna sleep. Don't watch a show where you're gonna sleep. Do that somewhere else. Come to the place of rest and sleep. Okay. Too many people mess up their sleep cycles because they'll watch a show before they go to bed, and then that stimulates them, and then that same thing, like, you get excited, but as soon as you lay down, you're gonna immediately think about a show rather than think about sleep. So you'll go and find the show and then watch a show instead of, like, I've done it plenty of times and it's totally screwed me over. But like, at this new place, like, every time I lay down, like, my body just goes right to sleep because it knows this is my place to rest. This is not a place to stimulate.
Yep, and I agree. That's the one just, thing. Is just
try it.
Yeah.
I know. It is so hard because everyone does it these days. Everyone watches Netflix before they go to bed. Everyone, like I used to, but like it's just not a good idea. It's because yeah. It produces more dopamine, and then you get thinking about something else, and then you go back to thinking about the thing you were thinking about before, and then you know it's so hard to go to sleep that way. And I mean, if you do want to watch Netflix before you go to bed, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You just do it in a different room, like. You know, just lay on a couch specifically or something and get comfortable there and watch the show and be like, all right, my bed sounds amazing right now. Go lay in your bed and go straight to sleep. Don't do anything else.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. I mean, part of that is, and that's why I've been staying up, is because I know that if I just lay there, I'm just not going to be able to sleep.
Just don't have that expectation. Just lay there with no expectation. Your body will know what to do as soon as you're like, and honestly, at this point in time, your body is so used to like the rhythm of everything. Get into the feng shui of things and move your bed across the room. Flip your mattress or something. And then just restart. Like, you just do a full restart. Like, even if you stay up a full day and like start trying to go to sleep at 10 o'clock, get all that done before you go to sleep, and then just keep training. It's just about training, like anything you do. I mean, it's training your body to get used to things. Okay, so train your body to get used to sleeping on that bed or on that flip mattress on this side of the room rather than somewhere else. And you know, it's just, you got to implement change. The more change you implement, the easier it is for your body to change.
Right. Yeah. And I definitely, I mean, I just need to get that rhythm. Oh, you know, different. Yeah. I need to change it. And I mean, yeah, I just need to do it. But yeah,
we'll, all right. Well, I wish you good luck. Okay, so let's move back to our topic of. Okay, so wait. First, I guess I gotta talk about mine. So like, since that last podcast, I immediately felt amazing. I immediately like, just didn't fall into my. Video game stuff, and like didn't care about video games for like a few days. Didn't even turn my computer on. I only used my laptop to check my email and stuff. And I was super healthy, and I was hiking a lot, and that went on for like a week. Like barely played any games. I've still been just having a blast. I've been creating a lot of stuff. Like I got a hat that I've been decorating, but I have also like a walking stick I've been working on and other stuff. And I was also moving, in between here and the last podcast, I moved into a new place. And so that was part of the chaos of last week, but, it's definitely implemented a lot of changes. And like, naturally there's living with different people is always going to influence your behavior. And these people I'm living with are really beautiful people. And so it really helps me be a healthier person and really helps me want to be less of an introvert like I am, you know? So I definitely have found a lot of different changes in my behavior. I'm not saying as if it's not something I do naturally. It's pretty much if I go outside and I I've been feeding off and playing off the idea of making sure that I get bored, of letting myself get bored. So then like creativity just comes in abundance, and I'm able to like, I literally walk out my door with nothing in mind. Right. And then next thing you know, I'm like on a mountain and then I'm planning my next move, like to go get food or something, and then I get food and then I go rest and then I go to the next mountain or I go longboard or skateboard or something, or you know, mountain bike or bike or something. There's always something you can do as long as you let boredom take effect. And I think that's a very powerful thing that I came across, is just making sure that boredom isn't an enemy. It's something that can help you, you know.
And it, you're, think
say that again. Sorry, you cut out.
It could definitely make your brain jog when you're bored. It helps you organize your own self and reality. Like you could find new things to do and things. Oh, I got to work on this because you're bored. And I've actually done that myself. I'm actually bored a lot, honestly. So it gives me free time.
And yeah, like if my brother told me this when I was younger, but I've always thought of it kind of funny, but he told me that if you forget what you need to do that day, or if you can't figure out what you want to do that day, just go and study. If you study, then your mind starts to think about everything fun in the world that you want to be doing at that time, and then immediately you'll have tons of ideas how to entertain yourself.
Yeah, like I could definitely relate to that, even though my studying is on YouTube. Like I'm actually wanting to be a vet, like a veterinarian, and Texas Tech is actually having a vet school in the next year, and so by the time I graduate I should be able to apply. And
that's sweet.
So I just go on YouTube and just watch a lot of surgeries and just learn about all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's
YouTube,
so exciting.
Really, really good tool for learning these days. Visual along with audio is very powerful.
Oh yeah.
You can learn from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And people are, I mean, colleges and different medical branches are actually implementing like virtual reality surgeries as well. Where they're moving their hands and they're making, you know, things occur. They're making a robot move or something like that. Like it's like they're able to watch it more clearly. So like our technology is actually helping in the advancement of learning stuff. And it can, in the future, I think it's going to be a huge, huge part of our education system. I think we're going to be able to learn things tenfold faster because we're going to be able to do like a virtual version of them. So like imagine Sergio that, instead of being able to watch just a YouTube video on it, imagine being able to actually do the surgery and actually watch the outcome of the surgery occur. Like you'll be able to do that without harming anybody, and you'll be able to still feel the effects of it. I mean, but at the same time, that could probably be pretty traumatic if you kill a few people in virtual reality through surgery, and that could scar you, but at the same time, it definitely has some exciting, it's exciting to think about the fact that, you know, we might be able to implement that to learn things a lot more in depthly in the future.
Yeah, it's really crazy to know the differences of a human body and animals. Like animal bodies are so fragile. Like the smallest complication during surgery, like they could die easily during neuter. And it's usually because of the anesthetic that they put. If they don't get it right, it's insane just to think about that. I know that's random, but I was just like thinking about that earlier.
So anesthesia,
yeah, it's
like,
crazy.
Motivates you?
No, dude. I mean,
like,
no. There's
that's
there's
what puts
gonna,
you under.
There's like there's gonna be complications. What I'm trying to say, like, there's gonna be medical complications that. They might pass away under your watch, but you know, it's just about being a scientist. You just got to figure out what went wrong. And hopefully before that you read books.
I don't like the idea of cutting into anything. Like that's not really my style when it comes to wanting to help anything. I don't think taking a blade to it is usually a good idea. Sometimes it's definitely necessary. Other times, probably avoided.
It depends what it is. Definitely. Like if it's like something that requires surgery, to fix something, then yeah. But a lot of the times, or sometimes, you could just, you know, just take rest and do your normal healthy diet, and it should work.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like, I think everybody has the power to recuperate and rejuvenate their body back to a healthy, you know, place. It's like your DNA has the informational structure of health. Like, it's, you grew to your healthiest state because of this information that is dormant within your body. So, like, at any point in time, if you focus more energy on that information, and you help it to speed up the process by giving it more energy practically, then, I mean, it just speeds up the process of getting back to the point of balance, getting back to the point where it's, you know, it's literally programmed to be. Like, oh, yeah. It's like, it shouldn't be some crazy idea to think that putting energy into a wound is going to, I mean, it shouldn't be a crazy idea that that's going to help somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Which for most people it is. It's a completely wild idea.
I mean, it just depends on what it is and the faith that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, yeah, I think it's meant like your mentality and how you view it. I still think that, you know, you should do both. You should do you know, like the crystal healing, you know, that should be one thing, but also you should as well go to a doctor and see what else they could do for you. So I think it's you need a balance of both, you mm-hmm. know, that's my opinion, because yeah. faith really does make a difference. So your mental health, your mentality on anything, it could be anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, anything. And if you, you know, like Josiah says, you meditate and you heal yourself, putting energy, then that could do wonders.
Yeah, and I think it's huge to like know your body. For a lot, most people, they don't understand what's going on inside their body, and so they depend on doctors to tell them what's going on inside their body. For me, like I've done a lot of research on my own, like on like the effects that certain things can have on your body, and so then using that information, I went into my own research and I've compared and I've contrasted to see how different things have affected me in different ways, and I've found different ways to like that my body's reacting positively and other ways that my body's reacting negatively to certain things. And I think that everybody should go through that process of figuring out what's good for their body. Like, I think a huge portion of the topic of health is, I mean, you shouldn't try to heal anybody or try to help anybody with their health or anything like that, unless you can do it for yourself, because I mean, most people are going to end up, you know, if they actually do help themselves, they do heal themselves, they do prolong their life in any way, it's going to be because of their efforts, right? It's not going to be that much due to the fact that someone else is doing something. Like surgery can be a really quick, easy, temporary fix. And you can go in, you can cut out the cancerous cell or growth or whatever. And that can be effective for a little bit. But if you don't change your lifestyle, then that cancerous patch is just going to come back, right? Like if you're doing the same thing that implemented it in the first place, then, you know, how do you expect anything to change? So taking this understanding of yourself, I think that we can easily translate that into our relationships, our healthy relationships. Okay, so I believe entirely that, and this is getting back on topic, I believe entirely that relationships should be oriented around a stable love for yourself first, okay? I do not believe, this is just personal belief, I do not believe that anybody can love someone else fully and wholeheartedly unless they love themselves. And at the same time, they cannot accept love from someone else directed at themselves unless they love themselves entirely. So, if if you do not love yourself and someone is telling you they love you, then you're going to, in the back of your head, even if it's not consciously, you're going to doubt it. You're still going to see flaw in yourself. And so you're not going to accept their love entirely. And at the same time, you're not going to accept it, the healing and the happiness that they can give you. Okay. So healing and love for yourself should be totally and completely priority when it comes to relationships or healing. Like you should think about yourself and getting yourself in order, because like, honestly, if you don't love yourself, why would you expect anybody else to love you? That doesn't even make sense, does it?
No, it's already negative. You know, right? You're that negative energy, you know, that curse already, and that's going to not help the relationship at all. And I've learned that from experience. Whenever I love myself and I'm ready, but the girl just, oh my God, is toxic. And you love this person, but so toxic that you just can't move forward.
Yeah.
And maybe
she can't accept the love, right, you want to give her.
Right. And it could be a lot of things, a lot of excuses, like I don't know, I'm moving back with my dad, so and then she's depressed and stuff, and she can't get over that hump, and from experience, it's awful. So mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say from that is, if you truly love yourself, and you both love yourself, you should be able to love somebody, you should be able to go through anything together, mm-hmm. and that's the take that I took from that.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, well, real quick.
Sorry. So I do want to say something just super real quick.
Go for it.
Just for the viewers and legal issues that can. I don't want to get sued. So, guys, if you ever are having a problem with your body or mental health or whatever, please go see a professional. We are not professionals. So just letting you guys know. Listen to what mm-hmm. we have to say, but please, if you have something going on, see an actual, you know, professional.
Seek help.
Yeah, seek help. Don't be afraid.
Or talk to, I mean, yeah, you can always ask us questions, but if it's anything intense, definitely seek professional help. We're not
diagnosing or...
Like we're self-educated, but yeah, that's right. About it.
There you go. So I just don't want to get sued in the future. So that's why I'm saying
we're
that.
Good.
Okay. Okay. Now let's continue. So whoever.
So
wants to
so
us,
what do you have to say about? So what do you have to say about the, about like, do you think that loving yourself is an essential piece in a relationship?
100%.
Oh my God! If you don't love yourself, how can, again? Josiah says it. You know, he goes, it's that's it. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? I believe that since I was a little boy with hormones barely. I'm kidding. But no, I'm serious. You should love yourself before you can love others. I've been in a relationship. And Sergio, I think we've all been in a relationship where this person just does not love herself in any way, is always complaining. Like, I'm not beautiful, I'm so ugly, or I'm double, mm-hmm. I can't do this. And you know what? Like, I get it. People have negative thoughts, but man, if you keep practicing becoming and putting out negative energy, well, guess what's that going to do to the relationship? It's going to definitely make the relationship toxic. It's going to harm me
it's going to create a huge imbalance, because yeah. then you're going to have to be putting out more energy to help that person, right. Come to a level of self-love, which they'll never actually achieve, as long as you're the person that's feeding that to them. Mm-hmm. As soon as they come into a, like, this is like the basis of every toxic relationship is the fact that they don't love themselves, or yeah. So they don't love themselves, or you don't love yourself. And because of that, like there's this imbalance, and like one has to be feeding more energy from themselves into that. So then they're not able to focus on their self love. Right. So then they can't they can't even help that person because they're going to be imbalanced in themselves because they're giving too much. Another person will be taking too much. And that can happen for a guy and that can happen for a girl. It's definitely not completely oriented around sex. It's definitely a huge aspect of it, I think. But, and it's not only just sexual relationships with people. It can definitely, like, if you carry this into every relationship that you make, whether it be friends or sexual, like, it changes everything. Like, the past year, I've gone through so much, and I've just experienced so much in terms of, like, discovering self-love, and right now, I can easily say that I love myself entirely, and I love every aspect of myself, and I don't believe any part of myself is negative in any, like, there's obviously things that I need to work on, and I want to work on, and I do work on, but that doesn't mean that I don't love and accept that aspect of my life. And so, going forward with that mindset, every person I see, I can look at them, and I can just see the beauty in them, just radiating everywhere. And that happens, I mean, that happens so many times a day in my short outing. But, I mean, just everywhere you look, it's just beautiful, beautiful people. Because you're no longer comparing how good people are or how bad people are in comparison to you. It's just like, I feel amazing. And these people deserve to feel that way too. And I wanna impart that on their physical being, on their emotional being. And then there's no expectation afterwards. It's simply just like just giving them love, and if they want to accept it, they can accept it. If they love themselves, they can accept it easier. And there's nothing else. Like, that's it. And you just go about your day, and you still love yourself, so it doesn't matter whether or not they give it back.
Beautiful. I love that.
But, like, that's what I've been doing, like, more and more and more and more, you know, just constantly. Like, I think this spring has been a huge transitional period, and it's like I'm getting, there's a lot, like, so where I live, there's a lot of traveling people. A lot of people come here and live here for the winter, and then they go travel for the summer. Where at the same time, there's a bunch of people that travel here for the summer and stay for the summer and then leave during the winter. So, like, right now, like, there's a bunch of my friends are coming back to Jackson, and so I'm like getting all these people back, and like at the same time gaining all these new relationships, and I just moved into a new place, so I'm getting I'm meeting even more people. And it's just like, if every single time, like, I'm able to go into these situations, I'm going into these conversations, these new meetings, and I'm able to, like, just be happy, because I don't care about, like, whether or not they're accepting me, because I accept myself, and then I'm able to accept them more as who they are, and I'm able to see people, you know, in a more real light, and it's not, and I'm able to help people too at the same time, healing in relationships. I mean, it's all the same thing still.
Oh yeah, that's all put together very well, and everything that you say, Josiah, really makes me feel good.
I'm glad, dude. I feel good. I'm glad you feel good too.
Oh yeah, it just makes me feel so warm and happy, and you know, it's just. I'm gonna go to the bathroom real quick. I'm kidding.
Yeah, man. It's just true. Like, seriously, like, I feel like I'm more real on this podcast about, like, how I actually feel about things, and I think it's partially because, like, of, like, growing up with y'all and, like, wanting to show y'all, like, how much I've grown and stuff. And it's true, but I mean, you can see it more so when you're with me in person. It's like, I just feel good. Like, I don't have this expectation for other people to make me feel better in any sense, or like, I don't have this expectation anymore. And it totally came, like, most of winter I was working on that. Like, I stopped inviting other people out to go out and do things, because, you know, most people are really flaky these days with our the way society's set up right now. But so, like, you'll invite people and you'll have all these expectations for how amazing it's going to be, and then, you know, a couple of them won't show up, or nobody will show up, and then you feel bummed about that. Well, instead of that, I literally just go. Like, if I want to go dancing, I go by myself and I go dancing. If I see friends there, I have a blast. I enjoy their presence. And I can just leave. I didn't come with them, so I don't have to worry about leaving with them, right? And it's just, like, this difference, you know. But it's just finding, you know, fulfillment within myself and not having to depend on other people and their presence just to make sure that I'm having a good time. There's just no dependency, right? Because I love myself and I accept myself. And so I'm comfortable with just being by myself regardless. And not everybody's like that. A lot of people, some people are more social and it's easier for those people to, you know, keep those social groups. But for me, I always find grounding, like when I come back, you know, and I'm by myself and I'm able to reflect by myself and that's just how I'm comfortable, but not everybody's like that. But it's just like finding balance, and it's finding that love and finding that acceptance for who you are and what you prefer, and not making just making sure that other people aren't influencing that negatively, you know, and you're able to be positive regardless of their input, you know. So then you can go into any situation and all the input is just, it's just there, and you can always see it in a beautiful light, regardless of whether or not people are acting, you know, kind of crappy or yeah, whatever. Because people like to do that. But if you can just smile, then they might find a reason. It might not be right then and there, but they might go home and be like, how did that dude smile at me while I was so pissed off? I'm like, you know, whereas like, I'm just like, I hope that person received like a little bit of joy. Maybe if it wasn't in the moment, you know, after they were pissed off, you know, because, you know, there's always something that you can find positive in every situation. And the more you love yourself, the easier that is.
The little things matter too. Like you smiling at somebody could actually save them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely, it's just about putting positive energy out there and, you know, whatever, in any way, anything that makes somebody feel good or, it could change their lives, literally. Definitely. So,
I think my dancing changes people's lives.
I bet.
Because I'll literally be by myself and I'll walk into a bar. I won't get a drink and I'll just go straight to the dance floor and I'll dance for like 3 hours straight without a care in the world. And just people seeing that, they always come up to me and like, oh, I love how you're dancing. I like, it's either like comments on my dancing or like they love how free I am, or like they love just the idea of like being able, or me being able to dance by myself and not care about whether or not I'm dancing with other people. Yeah. And then there's other people that come up and they try to dance with me, and then I have to like deny them, and or I'll just dance with them, or, you know, it's dependent on the situation, obviously. And then the most funny to me, though, I like, and it's only because I'm able to like fully accept and just not even care about what other people think, because I feel fulfilled, you know, just with my own input. When people like, they try to like make fun of me in some way, and that is the most comedic thing that can possibly happen, because I don't care, first of all, whether or not someone thinks I'm good at dancing or bad at dancing. Obviously, it's going to make me feel a little bit happier if I'm getting a compliment. But if someone goes out of their way to dance goofy next to you to get your attention, to try to make sure that you know that they're making fun of you, then at the same time that, you know, they went out of their way, they're now dancing, and now they feel more uncomfortable because I can smile at them and just laugh at the fact that they think they're affecting me, but in reality they're still, you know, they're still more self-conscious about their own dancing, that they're not dancing their own way. Instead they're paying so much attention to how I'm dancing that they don't even, you know, they're not enjoying the time. They're trying to bring enjoyment from bringing me down to their level, if that makes sense.
When
you do that, it never works successfully, ever. Like,
unless it gets to you.
If it, Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, if it got to you, but I mean, but like I said, if you love yourself, then why would you ever care?
That's so true. I think that's the main takeaway is to love yourself and everything would fall into place.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. So, like Sergio said, I think we're totally good to wrap up on that. And like honestly, I think that if we all meditate on the idea of self-love, and bring it into any of our relationships or any of our goals in life, I think it'll have huge substantial impact on the way we live life, on the way we meet new people, on the way we just go about our day. And so with that, I am happy to say adios and farewell. Love yourself, and I love you, and I'm happy y'all are here, and I'm happy that we're all getting to grow together. And so with that, I'm out. This is Taste of Space signing off. Go ahead, Sergio.
Well, guys, it was amazing to talk about this. Hopefully, you got to hear all of our different perspectives, and we love you as well. And yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I love you guys, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.